Just out of curiosity, by a show of hands, how many of you this morning woke up an hour early? Okay, we just all need to know who we need to point and laugh at right now. Yeah. I'm just kidding. I did not wake up early this morning. I explicitly reminded myself when I started waking up that no, my alarm has not gone off yet. I will not even look at the time because I know that I have an extra hour and I don't want to spoil it. So I did my very best to enjoy the extra hour that we had today. I want to focus today's reflection on the week that we enter into. Every year, for 1 week, the Catholic Church in the United States celebrates what's called National Vocations Awareness Week. So if you didn't know that that's the week that you're living, welcome to this week. This is National Vocations Awareness Week. Every year we celebrate in a particular way God's gift of vocations to the priesthood and to the religious life. And so it's a particular opportunity for us to pray for that this week. God reminds us, as he did from the very beginning, that we are our brothers and sisters keepers, and that we do have a certain measure of responsibility for each other, and even for each other's vocations, and how those are lived out. We are reminded in this week that priestly vocations, vocations to consecrated life, they don't come out of thin air, which is not news to us, but it's news to all of your kids that walked over for the Liturgy of the Word in the parish center. When a priest is in a classroom and sometimes he's, okay, what kind of questions do you have? And inevitably, you'll get these very funny questions where some kids will ask, do you have other clothes besides the black ones? They're amazed. You have a mom and a dad? And every once in a while, you get asked this question. So do you sleep in the church? Where do you live? They think that sometimes we're aliens, that we're just different people. Well, we're not. So if any of you were wondering that, you can be sure to tell you, priests are not aliens. We're normal. And we are prayed for. We are prayed into existence. I'm not a priest on my own. Any young man or woman who enters the religious life, that doesn't happen in isolation. I am convinced in my own life that one of the biggest reasons today that I'm a priest is because of my mom and dad's vocation. Well, number one, because I wouldn't be here without my mom and dad's vocation. Thank you, mom and dad. But number two, because they lived that vocation well. You've heard me say before, and I'll say it all the time, that my mom and my dad are my heroes. I look up to them more than I look up to anybody else in life because of their witness, the witness of how they have chosen to live out their call. You know, we talk about that word vocation in a way as if it only has to do with people who, you know, kind of stand up in a sanctuary every weekend, or people who live in a convent and don't see the light of day, so to speak. And yet, vocation is not something that we just speak about in relation to 1% of the population. Every single one of us has a vocation. And the first thing that we need to know about our vocation is that we don't choose it. Your vocation, you don't choose it. You don't choose your vocation. Because your vocation is given. Our purpose in this world that God has given to us is not something we choose, it's something that he offers. Which means first and foremost that everything that we do in our lives is something that is received. We say yes. We don't say, yeah, I think I'm going to be a priest. God says, hey, I want you to be a priest. And we say yes or no. But for most of us, that's not our vocation. Most of us, God calls to the married life. Some of us, God calls to single life in the world. But whatever it is that we're doing, we have the opportunity to say yes or no And we have the opportunity to nurture it or to not nurture it. And we're free. We're totally free. You see, this is the story of the gospel, where we learn about the real truth of human freedom, which sometimes is so free it's scary. Jesus, in the scheme of things, is in the midst of the religious leaders of his time. And what's evidently true about a scribe and a Pharisee is that simply being one doesn't mean you're doing it right. Doesn't mean that you're living a life of holiness. That it's possible even to follow a good vocation badly. Which is why we have to continue to pray, especially for our religious leaders. I hope you pray for me. If you don't, you should start, because I need it. And I hope you pray for each other, because we need it. Because evidently, it's possible for us to say yes or no every day to our call that we receive from the Lord. I could be married for 35 years, and I still make a choice today whether I'm going to love my husband or whether I'm going to love my wife. I'm free to choose it. Just because it's gone well doesn't mean it's going to continue to go well. Or just because it's kind of gone rough or badly doesn't mean it's continue to go rough or badly. Jesus is always here to help us with the gift of that grace. And he's the one, more than anybody else, who showed us what it is. You know, when we walk into church, I'll pretend I'm one of you guys today. We walk into church and we come in and we sit down and we don't face the back and we don't face the side. We sit in a pew and we look forward. And when we look forward, we see the one whose vocation was perfectly lived. Because what were the very words of Jesus? The very words of Jesus were, I came not to do my will. I came to do the will of my Father. And this is the will of my Father, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise them on the last day. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many. Those are the words of vocation. Those are the words of vocation. That your vocation and my vocation is not about me. If my life is about me, I'm going to be a horrible priest, and you guys are going to suffer. And that's not good. It's not good for me, and it's not good for you. And if each of us in our own lives, if we say, my life is about me, we're going to suffer. And the people in our life that we love are also going to suffer, and that's not good for any of us. None of this is rocket science. I love saying that word, rocket science. If you've ever sat with me or we've had a discussion, I probably have said that phrase to you, either there or maybe in confession. Most of what we hear is not exactly complicated. The gospel truths aren't exactly calculus, but they are elementary. And precisely because they're that, we need to be reminded of them. Even in our own day, sometimes the frustration of the Lord is expressed in the same way as it was expressed in the first reading, which, by the way, doesn't really make me feel good because it's about priests that aren't doing what they're supposed to do. And he says, why are you failing? Because you break faith with one another. Because you violate the covenant of your fathers. When we live our vocation well, the opposite happens. We bring faith to one another. And we keep faithful to the covenant that God has chosen to make with us. As St. Paul himself is evidence of. Where he says, my gospel wasn't even completely about the message of Jesus. It was just as much, and it even included the gift of my life for you and the gift of our communion with each other. So much so does God call us in union with each other. We were determined to share with you not only the gospel, but our very selves. So dearly beloved, you had become to us. And so in the gift of my very ordinary circumstances of life and my faithfulness to the ordinary tasks that God has placed before me, in that way, I live out my vocation. And in so doing, the effects extend beyond me to the people in my life that I love, to my faith community, and to the world at large. You know, the fact that my choice does have a profound effect on what goes on the other side of the world. Well, what are you talking about? Doesn't Jesus himself say that as Christians, we are one mystical body of Christ? And St. Paul says, when one member suffers, everybody suffers. We are more connected than we know, which means my choices have a profound effect well beyond what I can even fathom. And they have an effect that is going to be on my life as well, even after I die someday. Please God, may I go to heaven. So this is our challenge. This is what we pray about this week in a particular way. We pray about, God, what does it mean that you call me? That's one of the great fruits of priestly vocations and religious vocations, because they are meant for the world in part to remind us that God comes into our life personally, individually, that he has a concrete plan for you and for me that is unrepeatable. He has grace in store for you that he has never saved for anybody else but you. And if you don't get it, nobody gets it. That's how personal grace is. It's specific, tailor-made. And he just waits, and he says, just let me give you the $1 million. And we might say, nah, I'd rather take the counterfeit. Let's pray for that this week. Maybe for just a simple, deeper recognition that God calls you, that God calls me in the ordinary circumstances of our lives to simply be faithful. To be faithful to my vocation as a husband or a wife, to be faithful as in my vocation as living out a single life in the world, to be faithful in my vocation as a priest or as a religious. And as I am faithful, as I receive that grace, so I fulfill my commission, my responsibility to my brothers and sisters who also have responsibilities to live their vocations. When we do that well, God honors it and he blesses us. And I pray that he blesses us a lot, especially this week for National Vocations Week. I'm reminded, as I look at our vocations poster for the Diocese of Lansing, that of all the men right now in formation for priesthood for the Diocese of Lansing, zero come from Jackson County. We have no men in any of our Catholic churches in Jackson County that are in formation for the priesthood. You know, and I just highly doubt that that's because God is not calling someone. God's calling every day. And are we listening? And are we responding? Let's pray for our young men. Let's pray for our young women. Let's pray for ourselves that we may not break the covenant of our fathers.